But let's actually talk about what we're here to talk about before we go horribly off on tangents.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, not instead of.
Instead of, yeah.
Yeah. Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number, I should have scrolled down, number 39.
Yeah.
And we are jumping off of the MTV Mike Judge Beavis and Butthead. We didn't announce that ahead of time, but I kind of did on the Facebook page. So follow the Facebook page if you want to see things that we don't say in the podcast.
Yes, I guess not our first foray into the world of Mike Judge.
Right, because we did Idiocracy.
Yeah, we did Idiocracy. This was really, I guess, the second thing he did. Office Space being the first, right?
No.
Was Office Space first?
No, Beavis and Butthead was Beavis before Office first. Space.
Okay. So, I guess this is Mike Judge's first big thing.
Yeah, and basically this led into King of the Hill, because you can definitely see...
Oh, yeah, yeah, Mr. Anderson, their neighbor, is... I mean, it's the same voice as Hank Hill.
So,
also done by Mike Judge.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, this is... This is
where he jumped off of.
Right, and it's one of the weird things where I guess the spinoff, at least commercially, was more successful than the original.
Well, yeah.
I mean...
Then again, Beavis and Butthead got a movie.
That's true. Beavis and Butthead got a movie.
With a good soundtrack.
With a phenomenal soundtrack, actually. With the it's one of those things, and it might be my age, but there were some songs that I did not realize were covers for, like, decades.
Okay.
And talking about that soundtrack, Roller Coaster?
Yeah.
I had no idea it was a cover until I was probably 30. Like, I was just like, it's got the Red Hot Chili Peppers Love Roller Coaster on it. Yeah. It's a great song, you know? And, I had no idea that was a cover until I just randomly heard the older version once.
I just found out it was a cover just now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that is a...
Wasn't really your age, per se.
Okay.
But, you know.
Just a very random cover.
Well, it's like, They Might Be Giants, Istanbul, Not Constantinople, is a cover.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Well, now I found out something else.
There are songs out there that are covers that you would never suspect. But let's actually talk about what we're here to talk about before we go horribly off on tangents.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, not instead of.
Instead of, yeah.
Yeah. Beavis and Butthead, it's on Hulu, but the episodes are 7 minutes long on Hulu because... They cut out the majority of the episode because the majority of the episode aired on MTV, and back in the 90s, MTV stood for music television, and they had music videos. This was before YouTube had all your music videos on it. So in between songs, they had several of these shows where they did this, where they only really had 7 minutes of real content, and then. They played music videos throughout the show. And this was one of them. But they kind of went the MST3K, which we've already done the episode on as well.
Yeah.
Take on
the videos
where Beavis and Butthead did commentary. And you'd see them headbanging in the middle of the video.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
And it's funny because those music videos usually went one of two ways. Either it was something so atrocious and they just sat there and ripped on it for the entire video. Or they would play something like, you know, Henry Rollins or Gwar.
Yeah,
and they would
went heavy metal.
This is awesome and this is great. And they would headbang to it, and, you know, and they would have a great time.
They either went heavy metal or they pulled something off of 120 minutes at the 2 a.m. shift.
Right.
Which is awesome in its own right, but easily made fun of by heavy metal people.
Yeah, I mean, so like when they put R.E.M. on, they talk about how terrible and crappy and
they put
R.E.M.
Wings
is.
Push Little Daisies on it.
Right.
And, you know, just things that didn't normally make the mainstream roll.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right. But, I mean, like, this is, I credit Beavis and Butthead, but that's where I found Gwar. They had a Gwar video on Beavis and Butthead. I thought, this band is amazing. And so, you know.
It's a bit over the top.
Right, but as a 10-year-old or 11-year-old, I thought that was amazing.
You thought it was way over the top.
Yeah,
awesome.
I thought it was so over the top that it was cool. Yes, you know, yes. Space monster, rock and roll. Awesome. Yeah. Coincidentally, Beavis and Butthead, I think, was the second show that my parents ever banned me from watching. The Simpsons was first.
Wow.
And I was only like 5 when The Simpsons came out, so... If The Simpsons were, like, PG-13, I was understandably banned from watching it.
Yeah. The Simpsons were considered racy back in the day.
Yeah, back in 1989.
Back when Fox was the edgy channel.
Yeah.
Because you had, the three main networks, and finally Fox broke through with, oh my god, there's another network, and it's edgy.
Yeah.
And that was The Simpsons.
Beavis and Butthead, I was definitely banned from watching because I was 10.
Not married with children.
I think I was, but I can't remember.
But it may or may not have been official.
Right. I remember watching the hell out of it, so I probably was banned from watching it. Like, it's what I spent my time doing as a child, was watching.
Watching stuff you're not allowed to watch, yes.
Yeah, because if my mother wanted to guarantee I would not watch a show, just tell me I can't watch it. You know, oh, you don't need to be watching that. Oh, that means I absolutely have to be watching this. Yes.
Oh, yeah. There must be something awesome in here.
Yeah. Let me get my mother's stamp of approval, which is her actual disapproval.
Yes.
Which is all I need to watch things. So, this is the show that our former senator, Ernest Hallings, famously called Beaver and Buffcoat on the floor of the Senate.
Nice.
When he was talking about the evils of things on television and the need for censorship. Yeah, he actually called them Beaver and Buffcoat.
That might actually be an improvement.
It's a hilarious name. It is. But it's something that I also vividly remember because I think my grandmother called it Beaver and Buffcoat because she didn't know.
Because that was the name
because
of it then.
She had never actually seen the show.
Right.
She just saw that, you know, they said it was bad. Bad, you know. She didn't need to see it for herself. TV told her it was bad.
Well, yeah.
So it was bad.
Yeah.
It was probably in the newspaper.
Like, you know, D&D was the work of, it was satanic back in the 80s. Yeah.
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 But yeah, it is one of those shows. I mean, I think everybody my age probably sat around with their friends and did Beavis and Butthead impressions because they're so easy.
Yeah, and it's just so stupid.
It is.
I mean, it's so stupid.
It is. But I mean, you know, in hindsight, it falls in, at least to my personal absurdist taste in humor.
Yeah.
Like, it was so over the top and so dumb that it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And so, you know... Bigger picture, it actually fell in line with what I actually think is funny.
Yeah.
You know, which is, like I said, just that over-the-top, crazy, you know, there's no way this is real, so we can laugh at it thing.
Almost British in that regard.
Right. Because they were sexist. They were misogynistic. They were dumb. They were, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
And they overacted and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it, but it is funny that it, I guess it really was kind of like the, I don't know if it was the theme, but it was sort of the, like it was the Gen X cartoon.
Yeah, somewhat. The late Gen X cartoon.
Yeah, I guess so. And maybe that's it, because I guess I'm not Gen X, but I'm not really whatever the next thing is either.
Millennial is
the next
thing.
Yeah, I'm not a millennial.
Yeah. So Gen Y is a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sort of, that either Gen Y or, you know, late Gen X, early millennial thing.
Yeah.
So I'm a millennial without the sense of entitlement, which I guess doesn't make me a millennial at all. So, like, that's my show. Like, that's the show for my age group and my generation. Which I guess makes perfect sense that it's, you know, this stupid, you know, little throwaway thing. So...
So the soundtrack was awesome.
The soundtrack of the movie is great.
It had Love Roller Coaster on it, as you already said. It had Nirvana's I Hate Myself and Want to Die.
Yes.
Which ironically came out in early 94 with the soundtrack.
Yeah. Well, considering all that happened with Nirvana in 94.
Yeah, there were no warning signs with Kurt Cobain. Okay. But yeah, I mean, it was a well-crafted soundtrack. That's for Beavis and Butthead to America, which isn't necessarily what we prepared for, but it's
an offshoot. Yeah. It's I would never, I mean, to me, it's all sort of one big thing. Because the episodes are so short, you can't be like, oh, well, that's my favorite episode of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they were like 5 or 6 minutes long.
Right.
So, you don't really just watch... Well, especially if you're watching it on Netflix, you don't just watch one episode. I mean, you're probably watching 5, 6, 7 episodes in a row.
Right.
And
that's the equivalent of one episode of something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, just a funny show. It is. I mean, it's, I'm glad they brought it back in 2011.
Okay. You know, yeah, because, they did one season.
Yeah, they did one season, and it was nice because the people that watch the show now were adults,
mm-hmm.
and probably not watching MTV at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was probably the last thing I ever watched.
Nobody's watching MTV. Well, there are people watching MTV, I guess, for, MTV has become, what, reality TV? Is that... I don't know what the M stands for anymore, because there is no music. It's like TLC became TLC, because it was no longer the Learning Channel, so they had to just change it to TLC, which doesn't mean anything anymore. So MTV is kind of like, it's this collection of letters that doesn't mean anything anymore. And
yeah,
there's a lot, you know, a lot of TV stations or networks have gone that way, and it's nonsensical and bullshit.
Yeah, it's
like when Sci-Fi changed their spelling so they could air more than just Sci-Fi, in theory.
Yeah, I never really got the point of that. I mean, and it's funny.
Because SYFY means that you're not going to expect it to be science fiction.
Right. Well, it's funny because I know, and I'm a fan, but they were airing pro wrestling at one point.
Yeah.
Which I thought was strange, because it wasn't Kaiju Big Battle.
Yeah.
Which is the only wrestling that I could, in theory, see on the Sci-Fi channel.
Yes.
Because robots.
But it was Sci-Fi, not Sci-Fi.
Yeah, it was on Sci-Fi.
It was on Sci-Fi.
But,
which was pronounced Sci-Fi.
Well, and the whole thing with the Learning Channel is just a farce. I mean, it,
Yeah, it just went so far the opposite direction.
Yeah, well, I mean, and even, you know, and we've talked about it before, but, like, the History Channel now just shows, like...
Aliens!
Yeah, stupid reality shows about pawn shops and
aliens
and, you know, all this weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, that's not your purpose. I mean, I know the big joke with the History Channel was THC always stood for the Hitler Channel, because they showed tons of World War II documentaries.
And they got to a point where, like, oh, we showed all the history. Now we have to figure something else out. But they haven't shown all the history, because they showed Western history, and there's so much more to the world. But we, you know, but the American audience just—if you want to sell advertising and you want to expand, then you have to put fluff on TV, because nobody wants to see good documentary filmmaking.
Right, and I mean, I don't know. It just
except I want to see good documentary filmmaking,
which is why you have to go to like the Smithsonian Channel. Like, they keep pushing the intelligent stuff into like higher and higher tiers of channels.
Which is why you just go to Netflix and search for documentaries and wade through the absolute dreck to try to find a good one.
Yeah, I don't. There is some.
This
crap.
One was filmed on my camcorder, and by camcorder I mean camcorder. It wasn't even my cell phone. It's my camcorder from 1983.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, it's funny because, like, the weird, like, conspiracy theory alien documentaries have now, like, found their way onto Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah.
And so now you have to get through, like, the lizard people are taking over the world. I literally, again, filmed this on my camcorder with my tinfoil hat on. Look at me.
Why'd you put the tinfoil hat on the camcorder? That makes no sense.
Well, the government wanted to read its tape. I can't do that. But yeah, no, and, you know, but to your point, I mean, that is really the only place you can go now to get a lot of these documentaries and get these, you know, get anything that might have some semblance of intelligence that used to be on TV and now...
Yeah. Well, Netflix original are some of the best shows on TV, and they do a really good job of curating that. Maybe we can
credit Beavis and Butthead with the start of the maybe not moral the decline,
fall of the
world. the fall of intelligent content on television. But it's probably not it. I'm sure there's much dumber stuff.
We can blame Beavis and Butthead for Brexit. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It, but it's... And maybe, you know, in theory, well, maybe not even in theory, when you look at it, I think MTV ruined television because they gave us reality TV show. First reality show was on MTV.
Yeah, it was The Real World.
Yeah, Real World.
Was actually good.
The first couple seasons were actually good.
Before they, you know, it was actually reality. Somewhat real.
Right. Well, they figured out way before anybody else that if you personality profile people,
mm-hmm.
before you put them on TV, you don't have to script shit.
Right.
Like, you can just put legitimately crazy people in a house together and weird things will, well, add alcohol and drugs and things will happen.
Give people with conflicting agendas into a small area.
Yes, and put them in, you know, a pseudo hierarchical situation.
Yeah.
Weird things will happen. It's interesting television.
Yeah.
You know, long before CBS decided to put them on an island, MTV had them in a house in Portland.
Well, they...
Or CBS, Seattle, or whatever.
I mean, CBS took Survivor from some channel in England. Oh, Survivor was a British show first. But anyway.
Yeah. Because we've come so far as a people just so we could sit at home and watch other people on a deserted island.
Yes, yes.
This is what we do now.
I mean, MTV started off as 5-minute or 3 to 4 minute music videos, and that's all that was on there.
Right.
And that was great because that was the, you know, it was a new medium with music.
I mean, back during the days where you could only get new music off the radio.
Yeah.
It was ingenious because these are artists and bands that I may not have ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
That I may not have access to. They might be in my record store, but they might be, you know. But there's nothing that would ever convince me to go and buy them.
90% of the time, it's the same bands that are on heavy rotation.
Yeah,
on the radio. But then they had 120 minutes, you know, at 2 a.m. on Sunday or whatever, where it was alternative. You know, they had their niche program.
Right. They started blocking out.
Yeah,
you know, because they had like MTV Raps, which is honestly mm-hmm. where I discovered, you know, rap and hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 120 minutes, and then they had...
then Alternative Nation.
Yeah, Alt Nation, and what was... There was one, like, just for, like, heavy metal.
Oh, yeah, the Headbangers Ball.
Headbangers Ball.
Yeah. And then you had your TRL, which was your Total Request Live.
Right, which
is... Which was,
Well, it was your top 10 countdown every
day. Yeah, it was an everyday, requested top 10, basically.
Yeah, and it... But, I mean, and being able to block it out like that, you could attract specific audiences.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, for me, like, I mean, I didn't have a lot of access. We didn't have an alternative music station.
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of people just turned it on in the background and just left it on.
Right. And that's what MTV was great for was, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm doing stuff around the house. Just turn it on and go.
Yeah.
It was Pandora.
Yeah, which,
you know, which is ingenious.
Yeah, which has become Pandora and Spotify. We do that on the TV with those now.
Right, yeah.
Or you know, YouTube, because YouTube will keep going down the rabbit hole if you don't touch it, it'll auto play to the next one.
I mean, now,
but then you end up with some weird video in the middle of you're listening to music videos,
Swedish yodeling,
and then suddenly you're watching some documentary filmed on a camcorder for no particular reason.
I think it goes on what you prefer, so I think you actually like the camcorder documentary.
No!
I think it knows you do.
No, it thinks I do because it keeps playing them, and it
and counts you keep not stopping it.
I keep being asleep, and it keeps going down that rabbit hole.
John wakes up, he's on a watch list. Like
it's like, I did not search for that! It just played it for me.
But you let it play all the way.
But I was asleep!
I didn't mean to watch all the Ice Recruitment videos. It just kept coming up.
And once it plays one, then it goes to the next one because they're related.
Yeah.
I was trying to watch Goo Goo Dolls Iris, and it went to ISIS.
I know, right? That's your problem. It was too close. You should have just typed in Dizzy Up the Girl. You should have come out better.
No, that's a whole other... strain you don't want to go down.
That's true. Oh, God. Yeah. Now you're getting Bill Cosby videos and all sorts of stuff. Like, it's a major problem.
I don't want pudding pops. Yeah.
No. Nobody wants pudding pops anymore. But yeah. Really, all the Amazon Echo is it's a home Pandora system. Like, that's all it's designed for. It does some other stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean,
like it'll listen to you and automatically order stuff accidentally. Yay!
It does not do that.
Oh,
you have to tell it to order stuff.
Well, you have to quote unquote, tell it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I'd said, hey, insert the name of my thing, because I don't want it to actually turn on and order me stuff.
You don't want Alexa to order me stuff?
Hey. Don't say that word. It's actually bad.
Well, that's the thing about tech shows now is they'll say stuff in the tech shows. They'll say they'll be covering Siri and they'll cover it and they'll say if you say hello Siri, and they get tweets and feedback from their viewers who are like, you activated my phone. Why did you do that? I had to go back and figure stuff out.
No, it's funny because like one of the wrestling podcasts I listen to, there is a character named Alexa Bliss.
Uh-huh.
And so when it's running, sometimes when it says Alexa Bliss, like my Echo will come on and it will just listen to them talk for a second and be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then it shuts off.
Okay, Google Now.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, Cortana.
Yeah. And I actually had the same thing when I had my Google phone.
Yeah, I have a different
anytime, you know, the host of that show just had a bad problem with going, okay! And so, anytime we go, okay, my Google would pop up. And then it would stop the podcast.
Yeah, because you're listening to the podcast on the phone.
Right, yes. On the phone.
Yes.
So it, it just, this voice command thing is screwing with podcasting.
Yeah, that's why all voice command things need to allow for custom commands, which my Moto X does. And
mine does not. I can either use the name of it or Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
But why would I go Amazon? Yeah. No. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, so I guess it, you know, going back to Beavis and Butthead,
Oh, we're doing that?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to. We can do whatever we want. It's fine. It's a free country.
For now.
Yeah. Not saying we're a free country. Well, yeah, maybe we are, maybe we're not.
I think it might be pay to play.
It is pretty pay to play.
Doesn't sound free to me.
No, it's not.
It's freemium.
Yes, we have a freemium country. That's it. We're not like...
It's free, but if you want anything, you have to pay for it.
Yeah, it's free, but if you want to get past, you know, if you want to win the game level, you don't have to, if you want to stay in the game for a long time.
Yeah, if you want to get to level 2, you need to buy this.
Yeah, you need to buy the upgrade. We're the mobile strike of countries.
No, we are the Candy Crush of countries.
No, because I got the, like... Nah, you can get pretty far in Candy Crush without buying stuff.
Oh, okay.
You just have to not be dumb. Candy Crush feeds on stupid people. That's all it does. Well, no, the people that pay like a bunch of money like, those people are just, they're not dumb.
I need more plays.
It's because you're not smart enough to win with the plays you got.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
I just avoid it.
Yeah.
I don't play the Candy Crush.
Yeah, I think I had it on a phone, and then just when I got a new phone, I just made sure
I play Zookeeper Battle, which is very similar, but is based on the Japanese Bakubaku Animaru from the Sega Saturn, which I owned in Japan. So when they came out with Zookeeper Battle and it looked just like, and it was the same concept as Bakubaku, I went ahead and got it.
Nice.
But it's freemium and I don't pay for things.
No.
You just play until it says, pay me, and you say, oh, okay, I'll be back when that refreshes or something.
I just play Fallout, which is not freemium, but it just is a time vampire.
It's not freemium because you pay for it in advance, and then they come out with updates that you have to pay for again.
No, there's not updates. You can play the game you want.
There's not added content?
There are add-ons, but you don't need them to beat the game.
Right.
It's just, like, extra... extra stuff to do.
It hasn't been out long enough for them to add levels.
Yeah, and it's been out for like 9 months now.
Yeah, they'll come out with a level pack and stuff like that.
They added Far Harbor and they added like Attack of the Animatrons or something, mm-hmm. which is actually kind of it looks kind of fun. Because let's kill some robots. And then you can build your own robot to take around with you, which is cool.
And that's another problem. That's one of the big problems with game culture.
Oh God! Is it?
They have gotten to the point where they are selling you the game for you to beta test it.
Yes.
And them to fix it later.
Yeah.
So Instead, if I pay $50 for a damn game, it better work.
Right.
Now, and that's not what they're doing right now.
Because Microsoft, or was it Microsoft? No, it was Bungie.
Mm-hmm.
Bungie did it, and it pissed me off, and I don't think I'll ever buy one of their games again.
Mm-hmm.
When they released Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That game was not finished.
Right.
You paid $60 for the first, like, two-thirds of the game.
Yeah.
And then they released the rest of the game in, like, $20 intervals.
Yeah.
So by the time it was done, you paid $120 for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I understand the additional content and the add-ons. And if you want to pay extra for, like, special perks or things that you can't, you know, that you either can't get or would have to work your ass off to get, I get that. And I will occasionally buy those. But sell me the whole damn game.
Well, and then there's the problem where they come out with a game and it works fine on single player, but your multiplayer is buggy as shit and it takes them a month and a half to actually get your multiplayer working.
Right. That is also another problem. And it's why I don't usually buy stuff on the release date.
Yeah.
I mean, Fallout 4 came out like last November or October or whatever. I just bought it like last week.
I mean, and that's really what has pulled me out of gaming.
Yeah.
Because if I buy a game, it should be done.
Right.
I should be able to play it all the way through right then. I should be able to stick in my freaking Mario 3 cartridge and play Mario 3 all the way through.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to wait for a bug fix.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, now some things like the latest Call of Duty.
This is Beavis and Butthead episode. He said duty.
But so for the latest Call of Duty, what they did do on some of the updates were realize, okay, well, maybe we made this gun in multiplayer too strong. Let's nerf it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe this gun isn't good enough. Let's bring it up a little bit. And so they have tried to level the playing field. That's fine.
Yeah, I can.
Everything works.
Yeah, I mean, I can see. Yeah, minor tweaks, but when gameplay doesn't work 98% of the time until you get this bug fix out.
Yeah, that's a huge issue.
That should never have been released to the public.
No. No, but
They have to meet their freaking drop dead date and push it out.
Right.
And they expect their developers to be able to get the bug fix done by the time that it pushes out of retail. So, as soon as you put the damn game in the system, you're downloading
25 minutes to download.
You're downloading updates to fix the problems that they stuck on this disc and said, hey, this is done.
Yeah, no, and Fallout was the exact same way. I mean, I got it, and then while it updated, I watched, like, this is when I watched my episodes for this show, was I put in Fallout 4,
uh-huh.
It started downloading updates, and I watched, like, 10 episodes of Beavis and Butthead. Maybe it wasn't 10. It might have been, like, legit 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Before my update's finished.
And that's just fucking ridiculous. Period.
And I'm not sure what it fixed, but it spent a lot of damn time doing it. That being said, it works fine now.
And that was just fixing, you know, one pixel on...
Yeah.
On screen 897.
Right. Probably not. But you never know. But it,
Yeah. Buzz.
And this is what this show's come to.
This is what we started on. This is the topic.
It is the topic. I don't know. I really, going back to this, but I think the show probably drew a lot of undue heat. Because it really did.
Because it was supposed to be stupid. It was making fun of the stupid.
It's funny because... The biggest joke of all is that people took the show way too seriously.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're talking, like I said, all the way up to Congress. Took this show way too seriously. Like, they thought that people actually watched this show and believed it was true. How?
Like, isn't the animation bad enough where you can believe it's not true?
Right, or believe it's not real, or that's, you know...
No, this is a documentary.
No, this show tells people to set things on fire. No, it doesn't.
No, it shows two idiots setting things on fire. And
right, but the show is very plain to show these guys are dumb.
Yeah.
Like, don't be dumb.
Don't
It never... Well, yeah. That's the overarching theme. Nothing ever works out for them.
Right.
Because they're stupid.
Yeah.
That's what the show taught me.
If you're gonna burn stuff, be smart about it.
Right. If you're gonna do anything, be smart about it.
Like, exactly.
Like, these guys have no success in life because they're fucking dumb and lazy. This show tells you to not be lazy and dumb.
Yes.
That's what I get out of it.
You should sell propane.
And propane accessories.
Yes.
Things worked out a little better for Hank.
Yeah, he got a family and, you know.
And a dumb kid. Who actually was probably the best part of that show.
Yeah. And trying to figure out what Boomhauer?
Yeah, Boomhauer.
What he was saying. Which
I always could understand.
Yeah, which my wife says she can understand 100% because she grew up around here.
Growing up in South Carolina, dang old man, you know, all that mess, I'm fine.
Dang old man.
Dang old man, I'm gonna boom, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I know people that talk like that.
Yes.
Meth is a terrible drug.
And it doesn't necessarily cause that type of speaking.
It does not. No, some people
just
get a toggle man and
they just go that direction, you know?
Yeah. Well, the problem is their mouth moves faster than I think their brain can think, so they just can't quite get it together fast enough, so they add in little things.
Yeah, yeah. Little digital artifacts.
Right.
With speech.
It's like when you have an HD picture and it pixelates.
Yes, exactly.
Like, that's it. Like, it's pixelated speech.
Yes, yes.
Is what it is. They just had high def brains.
Yes, yes.
They could get it through.
Like some of our early episodes of this podcast where I tried to take out the background noise entirely too much and you end up with somewhat digitized speech sounding stuff.
I just thought we were being
I don't do that anymore. Yeah.
I thought we were just being auto-tuned.
Which
I thought would be kind of cool.
We just auto-tune it. Yeah.
Yeah. Problem is auto-tune doesn't work when you actually sing on pitch. You sound like a really in-tune robot.
What the fuck?
I want to sound like T-Pain, damn it. T-Pain me. I'm doing the entire next episode of this podcast with my T-Pain auto-tune app on. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
No, especially since... we'll go ahead and say what we're doing next time. Next time we're going to do... it's going to be a Studio Ghibli. We can either do My Neighbor Totoro, which was the first one that I watched, which is one of the earlier ones.
Yeah.
Or we can do The Wind Rises, which was the last one. And it's kind of more serious and more real world-ish. It's up to you.
Yeah, let's do Totoro.
Okay.
I've seen some Totoro.
Yeah, we'll do My Neighbor Totoro, which I prefer to call Tonori no Totoro, because My Neighbor Totoro sounds stupid.
Yes.
Even though Tonori no Totoro means My Neighbor Totoro. But anyway.
So sounds like his name was Tony and you were calling him Tonorino.
Tonorino!
Tonorino Totoro! Bobbidi Boopy! Ebbidi Bobby!
Bibbidi Bob! Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we'll go into Mr. Tonorino next time.
Yes.
And.
Or El Tonorino if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
And you are.
I am that Joe you know on Instagram. I'm the Joe you know on Twitter.
I am at Woodle on both the Twitter and the Instagram. You can follow us on our Facebook page. It is Black Market Toast. You can subscribe to us on just about any podcast app. If you find one that you can't, let us know and we'll get it there. And tell people about us. You know, to rate us on iTunes. And if you give us a rating on iTunes, we'll probably read it on the podcast. Because
we actually will.
That's what we do. A lot of podcasts say if you give us a 5-star review, we'll read it on... No. If you give us a 1-star review,
we'll read it too.
We will read it, and we will make commentary, and we may say bad things about your mother, but we will read it.
I'll read it in T-Pain's auto-tune app.
Yeah! And,
auto-tuned review.
Auto-tuned review. And, that's enough for this time, and we'll talk at you next time.
that much.